Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Well, it's been an interesting day so far, but we're only halfway through it.
True.
Or at least half, not through the day, but halfway through the show.
Yeah.
And,
Samara.
Yes.
I just realized your coffee cup.
I know.
It has Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man.
I know.
I'm just thinking you should have a cup. I'm going to buy her a cup, a Wonder Woman cup.
Oh, awesome.
That's far better for you than Spider-Man.
I agree with you. Try not to spill my coffee.
Well, you were unsuccessful.
I'm sorry. I was just looking at the cup and I thought.
She pours the cup upside down.
It's done, right? It's empty.
Well, it was almost.
It was not, my dear.
There were some drags.
All right.
There's some drops. Sorry, sorry. My apologies. My apologies.
And I keep asking, what on earth makes him think he's ever had control?
I know, but I haven't even had any energy drinks, Jerry. I didn't even have chili peppers for lunch.
Calm down. Well, that's for later in the show.
Yes, it's just a teaser.
We're going to talk about chili peppers and longevity.
Okay.
Now, but we don't often let you do this, Jerry. But
no more than twice a show.
But we're going to talk politics just for a moment.
Well, it's quasi-politics. It's also high-techy stuff. And it just kind of tickled my fancy this week.
Okay.
You know, we have had an issue in this country of late, especially over the course of the last year, that the tech companies don't want you to say anything that they don't want said.
Okay. And this could eventually wind up talking about medical things.
Yes. Well, it does, actually. I mean, if I got on and started talking about the differences in men and women.
Like you did last hour.
And using the science behind it, not just that, but, you know, the difference in their eyes and their hearts and everything else, I could be thrown off the platforms as hate speech because I recognize biology is a real science, you know, but that can get you deplatformed these days. And politicians, of course, we know, for instance, Donald Trump has been thrown off forever, for the rest of his life, it would appear. Ron DeSantis came up with a proposal for a new law in Florida that just kind of tickled me pink. And I don't know if or when it'll pass, but I hope it does. Ron said, if any of the social media platforms remove someone who is a political candidate, that Florida will impose a $100,000 per day fine for this criminal act. They're criminalizing deplatforming political candidates.
Interesting.
And that would apply for each candidate that got deplatformed. So, you know, if half a dozen people got deplatformed that were political candidates in Florida, it would be, you know, $600,000 a day. And so I immediately said, well, doggone, Donald Trump ought to go run for his local school board.
Yeah, that's right.
That makes him a political candidate.
That's right.
Yeah. But just Florida, now Twitter and Facebook and Google can all afford $100,000 a day. But if other states followed suit, see, you'll never get this through the feds, but if Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, if all of these states pass similar laws.
Interesting.
They'd be liable for $100,000 per candidate, per state, per day. It could add up to, multiple million dollars per day in criminal fines. I think it's a fascinating idea.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. This is the first I've heard of that.
That's right. I haven't heard anything like that. Yeah.
Happened last Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's going to take it before his state
legislature. So he's taking it to the state legislature, and he says he determined to push it through. Now, that's great for political candidates. Mm-hmm. But I say, well, wait a minute. What are the rest of us? I would propose that if anyone is deplatformed for legal, constitutionally protected speech, it should be worth at least $10,000 or $20,000 a day.
Yeah.
We aren't as important as the political candidates, perhaps, but something.
Interesting.
And so, you know, that way, if you deplatform 10,000 people and they're each worth $10,000 or $20,000 a day, that adds up to real money, even for a tech company.
Interesting. Well, let's see how that plays out, and it may become more important as time goes on into the health arena.
Yeah. It just kind of tickled my fancy.
Yes.
All. Yeah. Yeah.
And with that, let's do this a little bit early. Normally, we don't take calls until the second segment of the show, but I think we've got time to take one right now. Let's go to Tacoma and talk to Don. Don, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don.
Yeah, hello.
Hey there.
I listen to Dr. Fauci. I can't say I listen to him a lot, but I do follow. I try to follow the issue of COVID-19 carefully. I worked as a nurse for 20 years, and I'm very disappointed with the lack of discussion about the human immune system. I'll say my position very briefly. The virus is a clone. People are not. We all respond a little differently. So I would like a second opinion. I would like you to expound on the human immune system as it meets COVID-19.
Wow.
We've only got 55 minutes, Jerry.
All right.
I know.
Well,
I
don't want everybody's eyes to glaze over as I delve into, you know, T cell immunity with the CD4 versus CD8 helper cells. So where to go? Okay, let's start. Classically, we have looked at antibodies as our immune response. Antibodies are produced down what we call the CD4 pathway. You get infected, your T cells respond by kicking up your CD4 cells. The CD4 cells produce antibody. They kick up a series of inflammatory factors, tumor necrosis factor, alpha, interleukin-2, and so on, that attack and destroy and inactivate the virus. And that's classically how we have approached this, is looking at antibody levels. But what we're finding with COVID is an amazing number of people who have very low or even no antibodies to the virus that appear to be immune to it. You know, the spouse, the husband or the wife will come down with a rip-roaring case, and the spouse doesn't get sick, despite obvious and repeated exposure of living and sharing a bed with the infected person. And the question is, why? You know, what's going on? Why do some people just not get sick, even with very clearly documented repeated exposures to the virus? Well, it turns out that a fair number of us have a T cell immunity based on the CD8 set of helper cells. And these are cells that probably have made a resistance to this coronavirus by previous exposure to other coronaviruses. See, about 30% of the common colds we catch are due to a coronavirus. And we have other RNA viruses like influenza that we catch or we get shots for to make immunity. Somewhere in that process of previous exposures, our bodies have made a set of CD8 helper cells that have given us immunity to this coronavirus. We are now thinking that there's probably at least twice as many people that are immune to this virus as we thought. When you're doing the antibodies testing, we're, I think, seriously undercounting the number of people that are not going to get sick from this virus. because the virus will come in, their body will get it, the T cells will attack quickly, destroy. They don't destroy the virus. I guess that's the big difference. Antibodies destroy the virus. The CD8 system destroys any cell that is infected by the virus. So typically the virus comes in, it invades a cell, it takes over the cell's machinery, the cell stops doing its normal thing and starts producing millions of viral particles, the cell ruptures and releases all those virus particles, which then go out and attack other cells. Instead, this T cell CD8 system seems to, whenever a cell gets infected, as soon as it sends out signals that, hey, I'm infected, those T cells come and kill the cell so that it doesn't spend this time producing more viral particles. I know that's really a simplified version for you immunologists out there, but this happens that this is my first degree. My first college degree was in microbiology, the study of viruses and bacteria. So I kind of have to try to not go too deep and glaze everybody's eyes. But that's what it really comes down to. Two separate ways to be immune to this virus. Antibodies, T-cell immunity. And T-cell immunity is probably more common than antibody immunity to this particular virus in our culture at this point.
Good. Okay.
Does that help?
That helps a great deal. I think it's very valuable. And I want to say that I'm out here, you know, in the general public. You realize many people would consider what you say is heresy, because you're asserting that there are twice as many people immune to this COVID-19 as was previous thought. Anyway, that's a controversial statement.
It is.
Threatens
it
the political position of many people. But well, I tend to agree with you. But
I don't worry about the politics.
Other thing I want to When I debate this stuff on Facebook, so you know the level at which I operate, okay?
See, I never go on Facebook.
Really low level.
Right.
Okay. And on Facebook, I say there's always a cowpox. You understand what I mean by that?
Yes, I do. Sure. Yeah, Dr. Jenner's
cowpox,
which was the precursor to our smallpox vaccines, of course.
Yes. Yes, and I heard this woman, her name is Dr. Barbara Rasmussen from Columbia University. She said, we need to know who is immune to this disease so that we know what to do. And I've heard her on the radio a few times since that, and they don't go there anymore. They don't go toward immunity. They go toward...
Yeah, but here's the problem.
They go toward who's getting sick.
We can measure antibody. Measuring CD8 cells to a particular virus is extremely difficult and expensive and takes a long time and a big, big, big blood sample. You can't do it with a finger prick or a small. So it's something we can do in people that have been hospitalized, and we've got big blood samples available and so on, and we can do the elaborate testing to look at their CD4 versus CD8 response. But it's not something you can do mass testing on. And so, as a public health measure, the government is pretty much limited to things they can do for large numbers of people as a rapid screen. That's antibody. It's not the T cell system.
Appreciate the call, Don. Very, very good call. Fascinating stuff.
Hey, there are so many things on the docket today. We're just starting our number two. And with that, I just want to remind you, when we come back, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umet are going to talk about the relationship between diabetes and breast cancer. You've got to stick around for that. There is a relationship between diabetes and breast cancer, and you need to know about it because you need to know how to lower your risk of getting breast cancer when we come back.
After I started on Dr. Mixon's program, their energy level just booms, and the mood leveling out was so important. Your quality of life just is transformed. I am so grateful to Longevity and Dr. Mixon's program.
I won't make
actually,
it.
Actually, I was about to reach out to spin her around.
Well, okay. That's right.
We were sitting here dancing separately. Yeah, that's I said, right. Come on, give me your hand. Right.
Welcome back, everybody, yeah. to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot, and the two dancing marionettes are Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Okay. We were talking at the break about the relationship between diabetes and breast cancer. Apparently, there's some new information out there.
There is. It's not so much, well, okay, diabetics have a higher risk of all cancers.
They do.
Period. Okay.
And a short lifespan.
Yes. Diabetics have a risk, increased risk of breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer,
My goodness, name it. Really?
Yeah. In addition to heart disease, dementia, osteoarthritis.
Coronary artery disease.
Yes. All of this is connected with diabetes. So, which is why diabetics tend to die much younger than other people. Interestingly, there is a drug called metformin that has been around since the late 50s or early 60s mm-hmm. that is used to correct insulin resistance and help lower blood sugars in diabetics. But it turns out the diabetics that use metformin not only don't die younger, they mm-hmm. tend to live longer than non-diabetics that don't use metformin.
Good grief.
And metformin is being kind of touted as an anti-aging drug to some extent.
Yeah.
But it also has been shown by other mechanisms that have nothing to do with blood sugar to lower the risk of breast cancer about 28%.
Good grief.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And so most women who get breast cancer are a little bit older. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. Breast cancer, except for that small subset of people uh-huh. that are BRAC 1 or 2 positive. There's a particular set of genetic defects called the BRAC genes. And there's two of them. There's a BRAC 1, BRAC 2. If you are BRAC 1 or 2 positive, you have a 90%+ chance of getting breast cancer in your life.
Yes. Right. We had a close friend who had that, and she was only 38 years old.
I knew, she died. Yeah. Mm. I knew an anesthesiologist, lovely young girl, who developed her breast cancer at 27.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just out of residency, started
so
practice,
yeah.
and in her 20s, but she was a BRAC 2.
Mm.
At any rate.
So metformin.
Except for that subset
yes.
of genetic defects, your risk of breast cancer is at its lowest when your estrogen and progesterone levels are at their highest.
That's good to know.
And as your estrogen and progesterone decline, breast cancer risk rises.
Mm-hmm.
And the lower your estrogen and progesterone levels, the higher your breast cancer risk. It almost acts as if the estrogen progesterone sensitive breast cancers are an estrogen progesterone deficiency disease.
Yeah.
And they continue to rise as estrogen levels drop. And when your estrogen and progesterone levels hit their nadir, they don't go any lower after in your mid 70s.
Right.
Breast cancer risk stops rising. It just plateaus.
Okay.
But irrespective of diabetes, the metformin appears to interfere with that mutation in which breast cancer develops from regular breast tissue. So it's kind of neat or kind of nice.
So the older you get, while your hormones are dropping, your risk factors go up.
Yes.
And so that's what we do at Longevity is we measure.
Precisely.
And try to level those off in a more appropriate range.
We do. I mean, if we catch these women within 10 years of menopause, then we can reduce their potential risk for developing breast cancer by 30%.
Right. 30 to 35%, depending on the study you look at. Interestingly, if you wait too late, that is, if you go more than 10 years after menopause, when the estrogen levels have been quite low for a long time, the damage has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
So your risk of getting breast cancer has already been established. The question is, what happens if you never let a woman go through menopause?
Yes.
What happens if you start them in their 30s or early 40s and stabilize their estrogen progesterone levels so they never become menopausal? My wife has seen the literature, and she doesn't want to go through menopause. You know, we started her on our program when she was about 30 years old, and her goal is to maintain youthful hormone levels right on through life.
And
but the downside of that is the cyclical nature of the hormones and having to have periods. So women who maintain a uterus are then going to have to continue to bleed. And a lot of women are
Some women would rather have the risk of dying than to continue menstruating. My wife would rather continue to menstruate than have the risk of dying.
Interesting. And there are... there are some doctors that recommend that they keep their cycles.
Yes.
But like you said, most women...
it's controversial because we don't really have data.
That's right.
To say what happens because, you know, we have not had 20, 30,000 women that we have maintained on youthful hormones from 30 to 90. You know, so we don't really know. You know?
But isn't it true that at longevity, for the women that don't want to continue with their cycles,
we don't make them stop.
You can lower it just enough, which is kind of an art.
Well, that's why we measure, right?
Yeah, sure.
We you know, if you really want to menstruate forever, we can do that. If you don't want to menstruate, we can do that. Okay. You know, my own wife is just, she reads the literature with me and she says, this is what I want. Okay. And you know, it's like I told you, recently, you know, one of her recent comments was, you know, Jerry, you're a hormone enhanced creature and I want to stay with you.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, it's kind of so exciting, isn't it?
So our plan is to stay, the two of us, enhanced for as long as practical.
Okay. So now we started off talking about metformin. Mm-hmm. So metformin just really helps in this process.
It helps in this process. Now, it's got downsides. Yeah. Remember, Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt.
Okay, so what's the downside?
Okay. A lot of people, especially if they have significant doses, have abdominal bloating, diarrhea, cramping.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, lactic acidosis is a real possibility. So as you get older, you want to be very careful. Remember, this drug reduces sugar level. It was used traditionally for diabetic patients to lower their sugar. And the downside is it can lower it too much and cause hypoglycemic episodes in those people who have normal sugar levels. So you have to use it carefully. And the side effects of bloating and diarrhea and gas are real. And some people can't tolerate that. So if you're prone to those GI side effects, then you can have a problem.
Although they tend to be dose related.
Yes.
You know,
they do.
If you're getting cramping or bloating, then we lower the dose. Now, and frequently, if somebody needs a lower dose for 3 or 4 months, then they can start tolerating a higher dose. So you adjust things depending on how the individual patient is doing.
Now, I was off talking with a naturopath, not one that works for us, but just a friend. And she said she said that metformin is often good for people that are trying to lose weight.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And because it takes away some of the cravings.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that
it helps
she,
with weight loss.
That she prescribes metformin for that very reason.
Yeah, for weight loss.
Does that make sense?
It's not a weight loss drug, though.
No, no. But sometimes it is used
off-label. Yeah.
All right. And so normally metformin is for a severe diabetic.
Not severe.
Not severe.
Usually type 2.
And even for prediabetes, we use it to help reduce their risk for becoming diabetic.
Okay. And so the person that is pre-diabetic, doctors are telling them left and right every day of the week, oh, don't worry about it. You're pre-diabetic. No big deal.
Well, not in our clinic, we're not.
Well, no.
In our clinic, we're saying you're pre-diabetic. Damn it, let's do something about it.
That's right. I mean, we're watching so carefully, they start heading in that direction, and we're saying, all right, the red flags are going up, red flags are going up, red flags are going up, because we're having a conversation about this at least every quarter, if not more frequently.
And so for those that are in that boat, you might, I'm assuming you then put some of these people on metformin, maybe a low dose to see how they respond.
To see how they tolerate it.
Their GI tract.
Absolutely, we do, yes.
Sure.
My golly, this is really cool. So how many primary care physicians out there that are dealing with pre-diabetics and type 2 diabetics are suggesting this?
I don't know how many. I know there are some.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the literature more and more. There were not many doing it 5 and 10 years ago when I started doing it. But
well, here's
remember, if they're diabetic, they're using metformin anyways.
Yeah, been using metformin.
They may or may not know that they're lowering their risk for breast cancer.
And so even if they are pre-diabetic, they may be on metformin.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's the hope.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, this is fascinating. There's always new stuff we can learn. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go to a break a little early because I always hate interrupting calls, and we're going to take some calls here in just a moment. But let me just remind everybody before we go to the break that our HAs are available. Health analysis appointment, our HAs are available. We have some in each of our three clinics, and we're not always flush with a bunch of free health analysis appointments. But we're in pretty good shape right now.
It's early in the year.
Yeah, it's early in the year.
People are now.
That's right. And so we've opened up more. We've told you we're growing, and we're adding staff. In fact, you're in the process of training a new doctor right now. And
I am indeed.
Seems like a really good guy. Looking forward to getting him into the saddle and seeing patients. The training is extensive. You can't just, you know...
It takes a while.
We don't go into all of the details right now. But long story short, if you would like one of the free health analysis appointments, all you do is go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the Schedule Now button. The reason we do this, we used to do seminars. In fact, some of you have been to seminars. In fact, some of you maybe have been to many seminars over the last 22 years. We haven't done any in a couple of years.
And I miss them.
I know. We were talking about that in a meeting just yesterday. I miss them, too. I attended probably 200 or 300 seminars. I introduced you and finished up the seminars. But, wow, I even miss that. And you really do, because it's an opportunity for you to have fun.
It is.
100, 200 people out of whack. Now we have some excellent videos on our website. The introduction to longevity is one of them. It's a key one. And if you want to go to lmclinic.com, it's right on the homepage, the right-hand side. Just scroll down just a tad, and you'll see the introduction to longevity. Right below it, I think, right below it or next to it, is the two stages of aging. You will love that, too. Oh, my golly. It's so exciting, things that are coming in medicine today and actually are here now at longevity. The two stages of aging. Well, again, go ahead and grab a free health analysis appointment. You still get the two tests, the blood test and the special in-body test. Together, combined together, they will help you understand what some of your basic health risks are. And then you'll know what maybe you can do about it. So that's why we do it, and we do it for free. And yes, we're still offering the free $100 of free longevity supplements just for coming in to a free appointment. Talk about a deal. So, again, you can do that at lmclinic.com. Let's go to a break, and we'll be back.
My husband and I are, as you said, just right on schedule for falling apart in a very timely manner. So, I think we're going to come to one of your seminars here the next time they come around. And I do thank you for all your advice on the radio.
Hey, hey, Paula, I want to marry you. Hey, hey, Paula, no one else could ever do. I've waited so long for school to be through. Paula, I can't wait no more. For you, my love.
Can't wait for school to be through, but doesn't know how to speak English correctly. That's too bad. But I love that song. My first slow dance at age 13. All right. The lady who gave her testimonial there, coming back from the break, falling apart on schedule. Oh, my gosh. If that's you, and you want to do something about it, don't forget, you can make a free health analysis appointment an HA appointment, a health analysis appointment, by simply going to our website. Don't procrastinate any longer. Do it now at lmclinic.com. And it's a smart thing to do. And now let's go to another call or two. I think we're moving around the Puget Sound area because I think our next call is from Faircrest or near Tacoma, right? And let's welcome Kathy. Kathy, welcome to the program today.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Nice to talk to you today.
Hey, good.
What can we do to help, young lady?
Well, I came in for, last fall, came in for the free evaluation and stayed for the extra blood work, and was really glad I did. That was very interesting results. I just loved getting those. But I did not sign up for staying on at this time. And I got the relief factor for my free thing. And I have a question about relief factor. Is there something in that? I don't believe it would be the fish oil, but is there something in that resveratrol or I believe it's the Icarin combination and the turmeric that would give me a reaction like caffeine? My brain is bouncing everywhere.
My goodness.
Yeah.
The only one of those I can think of that might be a mild emotional stimulant is the Icarin. Yeah, the resveratrol should not. It's a polyphenol that's found in the skins of grapes and many fruits and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The curcumin, once more, not a lot absorbed into the system. It has a big impact on the bowel.
That's right.
But does decrease joint inflammation. You know, the omega-3s, I can't imagine why that would.
No.
So the only thing I can think of that has any stimulation effect at all is Icarin. And in fact, the reason we can't, they can't sell that product for professional sports is the Icarin is not allowed because it improves professional and it enhances function.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So they class the Icarin to be kind of like the testosterone as a personal function enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Icarin, the only place I know that Icarin is usually sold is it is sold in convenience stores at the counter as an aphrodisiac. The Icarin is extracted from a plant referred to as horny goat weed.
And I know. I didn't want to say that word.
Well, that's okay.
I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if something called horny goat weed isn't an aphrodisiac, it should be. I mean, but yeah, that's where most people get their Icarin. Only they pay a heck of a lot more for it at the convenience store. So it's possible. You're the first person I have heard of
in hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah,
I heard that.
Yeah, I think they're currently selling more than 100,000 bags of that a month. And you're the first one I've heard of. So it can't be that common. But
no,
possible.
Well, I've had this problem before. I took CoQ10 about 10 years ago and had the same reaction to CoQ10.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
And
so
CoQ10 does improve mitochondrial function and increases energy production. So yeah, I can understand that one too.
Maybe
not
you
the
are just the,
shouldn't be the resveratrol though.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that helps me because then I can take it in very small doses, and I don't really want to waste it. And I'm loving the fish oil, of course. But now I'll know that I can go ahead and add resveratrol to my supplements, and that shouldn't be a problem. So that
should
good
not
to
be a problem. That's right.
I'll stay away from the other.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank
bye
you
bye.
So
bye
much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Hey, has this been a good program or what? Think of all the questions, all the things that have been taught. I've learned a lot today. I hope you keep listening. Let's go to a break. And when we come back, Dr. Umat has been insisting over and over again that we talk about chili peppers. Dr. Mixon has some information. Dr. Umat is demanding we talk about it. But we've stalled all the way to the end of this hour. But it's coming up. Chili peppers and longevity when we come back.
We decided we needed something to make us feel younger and healthier. I didn't want to do it by myself. I knew that Larry had to come with me.
Since I've become a longevity patient, I just feel wonderful now. If you're thinking about attending a seminar, go. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Longevity is a miracle for us.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking all alone. So in love are we two that we don't know what to do. So in love, in the world our own. As we stroll by the sea together.
Can you just see the couple in your mind's eye walking down the beach? Love letters in the sand.
Yep.
Strolling together like this song is talking about. And
yep.
And then that testimonial of that wife and her husband, whose marriage in many respects was transformed because of longevity. You guys are not just health practitioners. You guys are, what are you, marriage counselors? I don't know.
Wellness.
Life coaches.
Life coaches. But this is so cool. She started her testimonial off that she was concerned. She wanted to feel and function.
Yeah.
She wanted to feel better, but then she wanted to be able to walk the beaches and things like that. I mean, that is so cool. And again, at the break, I tease this because, Dr. Umat, you keep saying for almost 2 hours now, let's talk about chili peppers. Let's
talk about chili peppers.
So we're finally going to get to the chili peppers information. So tell us about it, Jerry.
Okay. Well, a chocolate chili pepper fondue is...
Golly. Huh?
Now, you can have dark chocolate with peppers and chilies.
You can.
And they're actually quite tasty. The sea salt and chili ones with the dark chocolate. Oh, so good.
But that's not what this
is. Okay.
This is not what we're talking about. Okay, fine.
But Cleveland Clinic.
Yes.
Did a multi-year study looking at 570-some thousand people.
Really?
And looking at people that consumed chili peppers in large amounts, in smaller amounts, and never, or almost never.
I'm in the never category.
You're in the never category. I know. And I'm going to buy a life insurance policy on you.
Yes, you should.
So, except I'm not sure I could afford it, given your interest. The fact is that people who consumed the most chili peppers had a 26% reduction in heart disease, deaths from heart attacks.
Come on.
Yep. And a 23% reduction in cancer deaths.
Interesting.
And an overall 25% reduction in all-cause mortality.
Wow, that's pretty phenomenal. What about reflux disease incidence? Okay.
But, you know, I looked at this. I was wondering how much of that was due to the capsaicin per se.
Yeah.
Because we think that is probably the active ingredient that lowers the risk of cancer and heart disease is the chemical called
capsaicin. So you're saying a 26% reduction in heart disease, 23%
reduction in cancer deaths.
Cancer, and a 25% reduction overall?
Overall, all-cause mortality, yeah. And capsaicin, people who consume significant amounts of capsaicin also tend to be leaner.
Yeah.
Less body fat.
Yeah. Well, Indians, they generally eat a lot of chili, and Chinese.
And Chinese.
They eat a lot of chili peppers, and they're generally leaner.
They certainly are. Leanest population in America are the Asians. So, yes. And so how much of that is due to the fact that the capsaicin tends to be a weight loss drug?
And why is it a weight loss drug?
It hypes metabolism.
Oh.
You burn more than 20% more calories for several hours after a high capsaicin meal.
And you can take, because I've done this in the past, I've taken capsaicin in
pill form.
In capsule.
Yes. Form.
And I'm fine with that. I just can't get it past my lips and my tongue. So really, these are serious numbers.
They are significant numbers, yes.
It's a habit. Once you get used to it.
Yeah, so I told my wife, once my taste buds died, I adjusted to her cooking just fine.
You married a Chinese
lady. I married a girl from Sichuan province, Chengdu, which is the capital of Sichuan province. When you walk into a home in Chengdu, you will find dried chili peppers hanging from the cupboards, hanging from the ceiling. They use them for decoration.
Yes.
I first time I ever went to Chengdu, I came away saying, these people worship the chili pepper. They purportedly live in an atheistic society, but I think they secretly worship the chili pepper.
So tell me, because the pain of eating chili peppers, at least the ones that I've been forced down my throat, my lips burn, my tongue, it just absolutely, totally destroys the eating experience
for
me.
Your lips burn, your tongue burns, your scalp sweats and itches. And I can guarantee when you're first learning to eat these things, it burns just as much coming out the bottom end as it did going in the top.
Oh, look what we have to look forward to.
But you won't have cancer. You will have less risk of coronary artery
and
disease.
You'll get skinny
and you'll live longer.
You can't eat much.
So that's right. So let me ask you, are all chili peppers blisteringly hot?
No.
No, there's a lot of different varieties of chili peppers.
Well, my way of putting it, are any of them palatable?
Yes.
Oh, certainly, yeah. But it depends on your palate.
If you have none.
They're actually quite flavorful.
Yes.
I mean, the right doses.
After 17 years of living with Bandine, I can eat any pepper they make, I think.
Seriously?
Really?
Yeah.
Can you? Wow.
I'm one of the few white guys that actually chows down on full-strength Szechuanese food.
No kidding.
Do you just swallow it?
No, I can.
What are the options?
Taste it in your mouth.
Yes, you could
chew it.
You could spit it at your hostess, but
that would
probably won't
be a
get
good
invited
idea.
Back for a second meal.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was nervous. It was about a month or two ago. You invited Seth and me over for lunch with four guys.
You and Seth and Bob and Chuck.
And she provided a meal that was absolutely knockdown, drag out. I think there was like five entrees, maybe more. And it was all just excellent. Chili peppers or mild chili peppers.
I reminded her that we were having
bunch of white boys.
bunch of Caucasian wusses.
Oh, my golly. It was very sweet of her and a lot of work, but very sensitive.
She loves to entertain. Anytime I invite any friend into my house, they are there less than 30 seconds before there is a drink in their hand.
Oh, that's,
you know,
that's
and true. She will rush off and to the store to buy Asian desserts for them. You can't get out of my house without a beverage and a treat.
That's
just
right.
Can't be done.
So let me get back to, and I couldn't agree more. I've always appreciated her, but my admiration was even higher when she
She's
was
pretty awesome,
sensitive to her.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal. If it is capsaicin, which it probably is, right?
I mean, well, that's the working hypothesis.
Yeah.
We know capsaicin hypes the metabolism. We know there are significant metabolic changes when you eat capsaicin. So the guesstimate is that is also what's causing the decreased cancer and heart disease. We know that's what impacts the weight. We think that's what's doing the cancer and heart disease.
Interesting. So are you recommending that I go back to adding capsaicin capsules into my supplement routine?
Your doctor is sitting over here to my left.
Well,
You're asking the wrong person.
Well, she's here. So, okay, I'll look over here.
I've actually never prescribed the capsaicin capsules.
Why not?
I just...
eat some chili peppers.
Some chili peppers, that's right.
She's Indian.
Well, she knew I would not. I wouldn't.
I see no reason for you not to use them.
But Jerry, do the capsules provide the same benefit?
We don't know.
Yeah, and therein lies the issue. I don't know whether the capsules provide the same benefit as the food. Your body metabolizes the food in a different manner than it would the capsules. So, you know, my experience with the capsaicin has been for transdermal use in pain.
Yes.
In pain management, it's been very popular because it just numbs the sensors. And so you don't feel the sensation of pain because of the...
When you first put the capsaicin on the skin, it stings.
It stings, that's right.
But if you keep putting it on several times a day, the stinging goes away and the pain goes away.
Right, because it confuses the receptors.
Yes.
Is that like for shingles, maybe?
Well, for any real pain, chronic pains, capsaicin creams are useful for that.
That's right.
You know,
shoulders, elbows.
It may be that the taste and the burning alters your metabolism. For instance, we know that sweet tasting things alters your metabolism, even if they're zero calorie.
Even if it's artificial sweetener.
The artificial sweeteners shift your metabolism towards fat production. You're not getting calories in, but the sweet taste actually alters the biochemistry in your brain, your gut, and your body starts metabolizing food differently because of the sweet taste. So, you know, it may be the capsaicin as a chemical reaction, but it could also be that hot, stinging, fiery feeling also alters your metabolism. We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, people talk about garlic pills and garlic capsules too, and I have patients that use them. I just don't know whether they're the same as eating garlic in your food.
Yeah.
And I think the food is probably going to give them more benefits than the capsule will. But is it better than nothing? Probably. But well, I don't know.
We don't have proof.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we know that eating capsaicin has benefit for heart and cancer and weight. Capsules, I don't know. No, I have not seen a study to tell me anything about it.
Interesting. But
and you're not going to get 570,000 people over a five-year period. You know, I mean, this study was done in the United States, Italy, China, and Iran. All right.
Okay.
So we had different populations. And, of course, the population in Sichuan, you know, was a high capsaicin area. You know, Italy, not so much, you know. Iran, moderate, U.S., fairly low. Mm.
Okay.
So by looking at different populations in different areas, they were able to put it together.
So when you go to the various stores that have a lot of varieties of chili peppers, do they let you know if some of them are less hot?
There are probably, yes, some stores will rate them. You know, they have a little fire index.
Okay.
But not all stores. Some stores just assume that if you're there buying peppers, you know what you're doing.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's like when you order wings for the Super Bowl, you have to choose the fire that you want in them.
Yeah.
Not all sauces are the same.
Yeah, for sure.
And when we go to a restaurant and they ask, you know, how spicy do you want it?
Yeah.
You know, 1 to 5, Bandino always says 12, and bring me some chili on the side.
Oh, my goodness me. Wow.
Well, this has been good. Folks, we're glad you've been with us today. You've received a whole lot of really good information. And just a final reminder before we say goodbye that if you would like one of our free health analysis appointments, they are there for you. We have a few more at Kirkland and Linwood than we do in Tacoma. There's a few in Tacoma, so they're there. But we encourage you to just simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the Schedule Now button, easy to do. And the three clinics will show up on your screen. You just click on the clinic that is obviously closest to you, I guess. And when you do that, let's say you clicked on Linwood, well, then the Linwood schedule for the free health analysis appointments will be on your screen. And it'll show all of the appointments for Monday through Friday at different times during the day. You just click on the time, like 2:45 on Wednesday, that kind of a thing. You click on it, and it's yours. It's so simple. You still get the two free tests, the blood test and the simple, or I should say the special, the very special in-body test. And together, the combination of those two, you'll understand what some of your basic health risks are, and therefore you'll know a basic path to take and the path that longevity might be able to offer you. It's so smart. And yes, yes, we're still offering $100 of free longevity supplements. Pretty simple deal. For all of you folks who have procrastinated, maybe for decades, we encourage you to do that right now. And you can call and make an appointment too at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. And again, most of you will do it online at lmclinic.com. So there you go. Thank you for being with us today. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm voting for Kansas City. I'm voting for Kansas City.
We'll see.
I just, anybody to beat. Anyway, that's okay. Kansas City. I'm not a Brady fan.
But he's playing for the Buccaneers, and they've never won a Super Bowl.
I know. And so
it'll be nice for that team.
That would be okay. And Brady is amazing.
And root for the old man.
Well, no. Patrick is amazing.
Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, but the Buccaneers have never won the Super Bowl.
But Brady has.
But he's part of a team. So
go away. Go away. I'm turning off your mic.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, everybody. Blessings to you all.